The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. This anonymous, unabridged English translation was originally published in 1846 by Chapham & Hall, London. Chapter 1. Marseille. The Arrival. On the 24th of February, 1810, the lookout at Notre-Dame de la Garde signaled the three-master, the Pharaon, from Smyrna, Trieste, and Naples. As usual, a pilot put off immediately, and rounding the Chateau d'If, got on board the vessel between Cape Mogion and Rion Island. Immediately, and according to custom, the ramparts of Fort Saint-Jean were covered with spectators. It is always an event at Marseille for a ship to come into port, especially when this ship, like the Pharaon, has been built, rigged, and laden at the old Fossey docks, and belongs to an owner of the city. The ship drew on, and had safely passed the strait, which some volcanic shock has made between the Calasareen and Jarreau Islands, has doubled Pomeg, and approached the harbour under topsails, jib, and spanker, but so slowly and sedately that the idlers, with that instinct which is the forerunner of evil, asked one another what misfortune could have happened on board. However, those experienced in navigation saw plainly that if any accident had occurred, it was not to the vessel herself, for she bore down with all the evidence of being skillfully handled, the anchor a cockbill, the jib-boom guys already eased off, and standing by the side of the pilot, who was steering the Pharaon towards the narrow entrance of the inner port, was a young man, who, with activity and vigilant eye, watched every motion of the ship and repeated each direction of the pilot. The vague disquietude which prevailed among the spectators had so much affected one of the crowd that he did not await the arrival of the vessel in harbour, but jumping into a small skiff, desired to be pulled alongside the Pharaon, which he reached as she rounded into La Réserve Basin. When the young man on board saw this person approach, he left his station by the pilot and, hat in hand, leaned over the ship's bulwarks. He was a fine, tall, slim young fellow of 18 or 20, with black eyes and hair as dark as a raven's wing, and his whole appearance bespoke that calmness and resolution peculiar to men accustomed from their cradle to contend with danger.
"Ah, is it you, Dantès?" cried the man in the skiff. "What's the matter, and why have you such an air of sadness aboard?"
"A great misfortune, Monsieur Morrel," replied the young man. "A great misfortune for me especially. Off Civita Vecchia we lost our brave Captain Leclerc."
"And the cargo?"
inquired the owner eagerly. "Is all safe, Monsieur Morrel, and I think you will be satisfied on that head. But poor Captain Leclerc."
"What happened to him?"
asked the owner, with an air of considerable resignation.
"What happened to the worthy captain?"
"He died."
"Fell into the sea?"
"No, sir. He died of brain fever in dreadful agony." Then, turning to the crew, he said,
"Bear a hand there to take in sail."
All hands obeyed, and at once the 8 or 10 seamen who composed the crew sprang to their respective stations at the spanker brails and outhaul, topsail sheets and halyards, the jib downhaul, and the topsail clew lines and bunt lines. The young sailor gave a look to see that his orders were promptly and accurately obeyed, and then turned again to the owner.
"And how did this misfortune occur?"
inquired the latter, resuming the interrupted conversation.
"Alas, sir, in the most unexpected manner. After a long talk with the harbour master, Captain Leclerc left Naples, greatly disturbed in mind. In 24 hours he was attacked by a fever, and died 3 days afterwards. We performed the usual burial service, and he is at his rest, sewn up in his hammock, with a 36-pound shot at his head and his heels, off El Giglio Island. We bring to his widow his sword and cross of honour. It was worthwhile, truly,"
added the young man. With